Continue our look through the catechism as we have been doing for quite some time now, having wrapped up recently the conclusion of the Ten Commandments and also what purpose the law continues to have among us in those times that deal with the New Covenant in particular, and last week what every sin deserves. This week we come to consider the way in which we may escape that wrath and the way that is intended by the Lord to do so. And we're going to pick up on an aspect of that from Joel chapter 2, 12 to 14, as we're considering the way in which Israel responds to the law being hammered over them by the prophet Joel. And they ask, why is Joel coming to them in particular to judge them? Just for sake of time, we can say in synopsis that Joel is a prophet of the Lord who is coming to Israel as she has yet to be put into exile. And he is coming to Israel to call her to repentance. In many ways, just proclaiming the law to Israel of do this and live. Many similar types of tones to what we've heard from the various commandments where we hear, you shall not murder, and we have an explanation of what that would mean and what it would mean for us personally and what a natural response to that should be. And Joel is coming to the people of Israel and holding up the law of God almost as a good lawyer would do in a court of law, saying, here's the law of God, and then here's your infraction, and here's what the Lord is about to do to you. Turn and return to the Lord. He reminds them of this by listing for them the many ways in which the Lord has already brought judgment upon them. If you'd like to see an example, look at Joel chapter 1, verse 14. He says, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. Has not food been cut off before our eyes? Gladness and joy from the house of our God? The seeds shrivel under their claws. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down, for the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle wander aimlessly, because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. See, the cry of the prophet calling the people to proclaim this solemn fast in this assembly to, in essence, turn from their sin and return to the Lord. And he's showing them by a very earthy sort of examples of saying, haven't you seen the crops? Haven't you seen the livestock? The Lord's hand of blessing has been removed from them, and they cry out for want of blessing from the Lord. There's no longer the need for barns even to be torn down, for the grain has been completely destroyed. And this is due to the hand of the Lord. And Joel calls them once more to repentance. He does a number of times previously, all for the intended effect of what? Namely, that Israel should turn and return to the Lord and to grow in her dependence upon the Lord, to look to him in faith as she has been called to do. She has heard the law as the people of God, and she is now to return to the Lord in the way that has been described. And Joel, once more in the text before us, in verse 12 in particular, highlights for Israel once more the way in which the law will come to them and will reveal the way in which the Lord will judge sin. And this will help Israel as she understands what she should do. For verse 12, it says, yet even now, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Joel's reminding them by way of saying, yet even now, even though all these terrible judgments have come to pass, although the Lord's hand has already been heavy upon Israel, yet even now they may return to the Lord. It's interesting to think the mission or the ministry of Joel, it's not one that most people would probably want to go and to speak words of judgment to a particular nation and to watch that judgment be enacted. And yet Joel's still there. He's still God's messenger to that particular place and time. And he's there calling them to repentance, to return to the Lord. So that the function of the law at this particular moment in time is to cause Israel to see her sin and to return to the Lord. Indeed, even as we heard last week in the way in which every sin necessitates death, that there is the sense that Joel has shown that forth to them in so many terrifying ways for Israel, as is playing out not only in the words of Joel, but more importantly, perhaps, it's playing out in real time and space in front of them. It's not as if Joel is just saying in a literary sort of way, the barnyards are no longer necessary, the cattle are being harmed, and the grain's all dried up. But those are actual, real, tangible expressions of God's judgment upon them. And so Joel comes to them, and he reminds them to once more return to the Lord. And today is still the day of salvation for Israel. Why? Because Joel is still present among them, speaking to them the word of the Lord. What a wonderful way to see the law of God function as it pertains to the people of God. That it's different in the way in which a father disciplines his son than one simply disciplining someone who's not their child. I don't have children, but I've observed for fathers who love and parents who love their children, they discipline their children with the intention of bringing them to a good end, for their good and for their benefit, not because they have a mean streak, but rather because they love their child, they discipline them. And so too we see with the Lord when he comes to Israel, his son, he draws near to his son and he is disciplining his son for the intent purpose of restoring that relationship for their good and for his glory. Because he loves them, he disciplines them. And so he has sent his prophet Joel to them, declaring his law to them, showing forth the full force of the law and the way in which that death which will result from sin, which is being shown out in the land. We could think of perhaps some of the ways in which we can behold the glory and power of God in nature, perhaps in even the overland flooding that occurs here sometimes in the spring, that we see the destructive power of nature unleashed, or the way in which even the snow recently came and it has caused much damage with the crops. That in these things, that for Israel, those weren't simply the natural flow of nature, but according to God's providence, they were God's judgment upon them. And they are being shown the necessary outcome of judgment of sin. That sin necessitates death, as is shown by their inability to feed themselves and to care for themselves. So Israel is hearing once more to return to the Lord. And notice the way in which that return is indicated. So to turn from their false idols, from their sin, and to return to the Lord with all their heart. What a wonderful depiction of that phrase of all your heart. That is to return to the Lord. It's not that the Lord ever departed from them, but that they have departed from the Lord. And so he is calling them to return to him, to faithfulness and to love to the Lord their God. See, this picture that we're beginning to see of the law's function is with the intended outcome of Israel returning to the Lord and returning to the Lord in a holistic fashion. We can think of ways in which sometimes we, maybe when we were children, would be disciplined and we might return to our parents, but it wasn't really with a whole heart. We just didn't want to be punished anymore. We just wanted to externally have that relationship restored, but we still harbored the sin very close to our hearts. And it perhaps wasn't very concealed to our parents, but we thought it was particularly crafty. And yet the Lord here is telling Israel that what is intended is not an external reconciliation or an external repentance. Rather, the type of repentance which is described, or this return to the Lord, it's this one that is with all your heart. This one that is freely given, that is desired and freely performed by Israel. And that it is done with all their heart, that there's nothing held back, that they no longer cherish their sin, even in any recess of their heart or mind. And their entire of their being, they are returning to the Lord. And that they are doing so out of love for him. You see that the knowledge of sin and of the condemnation of sin are first sincerely repented of in the spirit. That it is not something which is begotten by certain external measures, but rather it is from within that repentance and returning to the Lord occurs. So when we understand something of the holiness of God by hearing the law of God proclaimed, like we heard 2 weeks ago, or knowing that sin necessitates God's judgment and death on behalf of those who are guilty of lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. These things help us understand something of his wrath against sin and causes us to begin to have a longing for reconciliation. When we see the greatness of the breach which is between us and the Lord because of our sin and the way in which that would necessarily force this sort of death and punishment to fall upon us, it should cause us to long to return to the Lord and to hear of his great mercies anew to us. Even Joel's words of "return to me with all your heart," God's desire for his people to return to him in their entire being. What's the law help us to understand but the greatness of our sin and misery and the greatness of our need for a Savior, Jesus the Christ? So Joel is drawing near to the people to cause them and urge them to return to the Lord. And he indicates for them in this threefold sense at the end of verse 12 of what some external expressions of that would be, namely with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Now remember that he's already told them to return to the Lord with all their heart. So it's an internal matter which he's already describing. And yet, we would know that to have an internal change, if we're seeking reconciliation with someone, would oftentimes have an external ramification. That if we've done something to someone, it's not simply enough to repent of that in our heart, but we would want to make it right with them, to restore, to indicate that we are truly sorry and repentant of that which we have done. And so Joel here in verse 12 of chapter 2 indicates that it's with fasting, weeping, and mourning that they are to return to the Lord their God. This true faith or this true belief is seen in the return to the Lord and doing so freely with their entirety of their heart. In this sense, we could say that the fasting and the weeping and the mourning are appropriate where they are accompanied first by true faith. That they are that which is seen as keeping with the repentance that is being offered. And Joel is calling on the people to truly repent and to return to the Lord by forsaking their idols and looking to the Lord in faith. And this we can say that as the people of God are being called to this return unto the Lord, they're hearing of that repentance which is necessary to restore once more that relationship they have enjoyed with the Lord. That's Joel's intended outcome. Indeed, he repeats for them in verse 13 much the same, saying, "And rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil." See, again, the way in which Joel has come to the people of God, he's calling them to return to the Lord with all their heart. Once more, reminding them of the way in which they are to do so, to return with to him now. This sense of hearing the law of God proclaimed, what is the intended outcome, but namely that they should return and that they should return freely of their own volition, having heard of that wrath which is coming, that day of the Lord which is coming, as we heard earlier in Joel chapter 1, that they are to return to the Lord after having repented sincerely of their sin. Now remember, we already discussed prior to this the way in which Israel has already been accounted by the Lord, that they've already been those who are the people of God for the sake of Christ, and that they have those who are being addressed here in particular are those who are repenting in this true and genuine manner. But we may ask, what is necessary that one can truly have this return which is present internally, this one that is with all the heart? Or even here in verse 13, rending your heart and not your garments. Joel is describing for the people of God the way in which they are to return to the Lord. And he is seeing this sense of repentance that comes from hearing of the word of God and that which is possible only by those who do so by the heart. So it necessarily asks us, who are those who are necessarily rending their heart, not their garments, or those who return to the Lord with all their heart? Remember, Israel has often been called to circumcise their own hearts, to have that heart of flesh. And yet they have been unable to do so. Indeed, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, we see the promise that Israel has been given that the day is coming when the Lord will circumcise their hearts and that he will give them this heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. And so the prophet, in many ways, is looking at this as those who have been circumcised in the heart by the Lord will return to him with all the heart. That which is a fruit of something, not something which it produces faith, but rather that which is the product of faith. And we even see here in the way in which Joel is coming to the people, he's come to them so many times at this point, repeating time and time again of the way in which the Lord is coming to cause them to repent, to return to the Lord, and they have not done so. And yet here, in Joel chapter 2, 12 to 14, we see the way in which they are once more called and reminded of who the Lord is. Having heard of the way in which the law has been proclaimed as we've considered in the various commandments, and we've heard of what is required of us, we may perhaps despair of ever being able to conform fully, and yet we have the knowledge, one, of the way in which the Lord has saved us, and furthermore of that work which he has begun in us, and also here Joel reminds us of who our God is. Notice, he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. What a wonderful balm that Joel is applying to the people of God here in this text. We haven't looked at the previous verses because we're simply dropping into Joel. But if we were to look, we'd see that time and time again, the law has been applied to them with very little balm. And yet here, he once more applies to them the call to return to the Lord. And then he jumps to what? A description of who the Lord is, who in whom they have believed, the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Israel, the people of God, the one to whom they are to return, that one who is saying, return to me with all your heart, verse 12. That God, he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. What a wonderful Lord it is who would call his people to return to him, who has proclaimed his law once more because he desires that which is good for them, that which that they may have this close relationship with him. And he is that God who is all these things. Indeed, Joel is saying these even in the midst of God's judgment upon the people. Somewhat interesting, we may say, how is he gracious? How is he compassionate? How is he slow to anger or abounding in loving kindness in the midst of these trials? And yet that's what Joel says. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the persecution and the affliction, Joel is reminding the people that it is the Lord who is these things. Namely, that he is gracious and compassionate. He has not taken out Israel as he could for their sin. He has been slow to anger. His prophet Joel is still among them, speaking to them, calling them to repentance, to life, saying, return to the Lord. He's gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He has remembered his covenant, not that he ever forgot, but in the sense that he remembers it, he knows it, it's that which has been sworn by his name. That is the Lord in whom we have believed. And so they are being called to repent unto life, to repent unto life of their sin, and to return once more to their Lord. And we see this in the way in which they are once more called to a return to the Lord in the entirety of their heart. Having heard the law, they are to return to the Lord and they are reminded who he is and whom they have believed. And this is what fuels in many ways their repentance. Not only is he good, not only does he have that demand that he can make upon their obedience, but he is good. And this last phrase of verse 13, relenting of evil, in many ways we ask, what does it mean? As an aside, we might say that Joel, in context, is really dealing with the persecution and this day of the Lord type imagery that has been described in the way in which he has come to them and by way of persecution, as we heard in Joel chapter 1 at the top of the hour, that he is speaking in many ways of the way in which the Lord may turn and relent from his judgment upon his people Israel. And so they are once more called to repent and to return to the Lord with all their heart. Many ways, it's that which is to bolster their faith, to increase their faith, and to be stimulated in their love for the Lord, that he might cause them to stand once more, to be those who are affirmed and also strengthened in their faith. So we see this repentance that is being described by Joel, as being preached by Joel, by the word of the Lord, is that which is to turn from sin and to return after this newfound obedience, this which is according to the will of God. Even as it says in verse 14, who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. We see in this the way in which the Lord's judgment of Israel is being described, that they are called to once more to turn and to repent, knowing that the Lord is he who has saved them, and also he who has been pleased to call them to himself, to give them that reminder of judgment which is to come. They have not received, we might say, the final judgment. They have received that judgment in the meanwhile for the intended outcome, that they would see their sin, hearing the law of God and having the stings of their afflictions upon them, to turn and to look to the Lord in faith. In this sense, it is that which is for their good. It's that which is gracious of the Lord, compassionate of the Lord, although it is that which is painful, no doubt. And so when we hear in question answer 92 of our catechism, what is repentance and the life? Repentance and the life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does, with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. Indeed, that's what Joel in many ways is seeking to remind Israel of, that they are to behold their sin and to hate it, for it's been listed to them throughout the book. They are called to turn to the Lord and to rend their heart and not their garments, to have that true internal obedience. And we see that it is this return to the Lord, to turn from their sin and turn unto him. So what is at stake here? Will they be those who will showcase their true good fruits, of those who by faith have looked to the promise and have heard the law of God, but do not despair, but turn to the Lord by the grace of God? Or as we would see if we were to continue on in the book of Joel, in the way in which some of the outcomes move forward, that this was not historically the case for much of Israel, but the Lord did cause his promise to come. For he would come and he would bring them to himself. For in this sense, when we hear the way in which the Lord relents of evil in verse 13 and verse 14, Joel in many ways is holding forth that although the law of God has thundered in their midst, and they are called once more to repent and to return to the Lord, that there is the hope and the promise of the Lord, who is compassionate and merciful, who draws his children to himself. This is, we can say, when we hear the law of God and we have heard of the way in which judgment will necessarily fall upon those who do not repent and believe, that there is a sense in which we will say for the people of God, there is this sense we see in the prophet Joel. Namely, that there's a call to return to the Lord, but not one where we by slavish fear return to the Lord, but rather as those who are the children of God, who hear the will of God for our lives, that we respond out of a desire to return to him with all of our heart, fasting and weeping and mourning, that we despise our sin for we love the Lord. We despise our sin because he by his Spirit causes us to turn unto him. You ask, well, how does that occur? Well, it's only that which the Lord brings about into pass. And it's that which is a fruit of the Spirit, which is keeping with salvation. It's that which is an outcome of faith. And so Joel is recalling them to once more return to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is by his prophet. What a wonderful joy and blessing it is that the Lord has been pleased to call his people once more to return unto himself, to be restored to that relationship which they enjoyed as a son and a father. Even as we hear in the book of Deuteronomy so often, Israel described as the son of God. In this sense, we can say that the Lord is causing them to return to himself and to receive that blessing from him instead. In this wonderful way, we can say that what is the outcome for the hearing of the law of God, for the people of God? And when we hear the law of God, we confess our sin and we desire to repent. Although we may at times and in many ways fall into sin, even as we have heard our pastor say in weeks prior, the struggle which still remains, and indeed it does, for we continue to confess our sin daily, if not more. But the Lord gives us an understanding of our sin and we desire to repent, to rend our hearts and not our garments, as that which cannot be made by forms or by external acts, but only by the will of the Lord and by the Spirit. And the Lord is that one who calls his people to repentance, even now. For we know that as the Lord has revealed here as well, the way in which he is returning, that there is a time in which no longer will that day remain. For as the prophet Joel implicitly is reminding the people in verse 12, of yet even now, return to me with all your heart, that there is the sense in which this time will come to a close, and that will no longer be the function of the law of God for the people of God. You ask, well, why is that? Because we will come to be with the Lord, and there will no longer be any sin, because the Lord will have caused that to be put to an end. What a wonderful day that will be when we shall be with him as his people, when that will no longer be that struggle and strife which has so often populated our lives. And yet, in that day, there will no longer be a return to me, for the end will be made near. That surely great day of the Lord will have come, as Joel has even referenced, even as he says in verse 11 of chapter 2. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Yet even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Brothers and sisters, we live in the day in which we still hear even yet, even now, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, that we may turn from our sin and turn unto godliness unto the Lord by faith, by the Holy Spirit, as that which is keeping with repentance and the life. For the joy it is for those who are in Christ Jesus that we may by faith look to the Lord and be those who in this life have a small beginning of godliness, that we may turn from our sin and that we may truly and freely be those who rend our heart and not our garments by the power of Christ and the Spirit. In conclusion, we've seen the way in which law drives sinners to look to Christ in faith. Furthermore, the way in which it stimulates his people to repentance unto faith by operation of the Holy Spirit. Let us ask the Lord that he would be pleased to cause us to all the more see our sin, that we may repent and turn from it and to return unto him. Praise be to God that he has been pleased to cause us to hear his word, that we may hear what it is he requires of us, and also the way in which he is pleased that when we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sin for the sake of Christ. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you have been pleased to cause us to hear your word once more. We would ask, Lord, that you would continue to, by your Spirit, cause us to understand something more of the greatness of our sin and misery, not only just in a general sense, but also in a particular way, that we would be those who long to return unto you, that you would increase the ways in which we may repent. For, Lord, we confess that we are very blind to many aspects of our sin, that we are so often caught up in that which is busyness of life and do not consider the ways in which we are those who are engrossed with our sin, much as Israel was. We would ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to give us opportunity that we may repent all the more from our sin and that you would cause us to have those ears which may hear your word this day for the sake of Christ. Amen.